Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome you tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea. I am in Tennessee. Michael is in Wisconsin. And so we just want to let you know that we appreciate you tuning in tonight. So here is Michael Boldea.
All right. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. I am Michael Boldea. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. If you just tune in to hear the musical intro, I apologize for your disappointment. There was no musical intro this evening. It was a cold open. The reason is nothing sinister. It's just that Gino's in a place with very choppy internet. So we decided to do it this way. Much cleaner, hopefully. And hopefully it works. Wisconsin is cold again. Let me begin by saying that. It was a frigid day in Wisconsin today. Victoria is a little congested. She's got a little cough. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, we were scrambling for some baby Tylenol, or children's Tylenol, because she also spiked a fever. So it's been an interesting 24 hours in the Boldea household, but thankfully, I think she's on the mend. It's a temporary minor virus. It's not the dreaded flu, because thankfully Wisconsin hasn't gotten it as bad as other areas in the nation. Apparently, the flu is the big thing this season. And there's states like California that don't know what to do with the onslaught of people seeking remedy from the emergency rooms and whatnot. Well, I was hoping that the memo would be released before tonight's episode of Light of Truth, because it was something we could have really sunk our teeth into. By the way the left is freaking out, by the way they're reacting to the possibility of this memo being released, I think it's going to be a solid hit in the Democratic machine. I think we're going to see the extent of what we have come to term the deep state, and just how little deference they have for the people who essentially pay their salaries. I know that every public servant hates to hear that, but it's the truth. The peons, we the working masses who are out here busting our humps and getting blisters on our fingers, we pay your salaries. The salaries of entitled bureaucrats who think that it's their duty, it's their job, it's their mission to tell you what to think. And if perchance you bristle at the idea of being told what to think, of being told what to do, of being told what to accept and what to reject, if you bristle at the idea of living in a nanny state, then you are, by all accounts, persona non grata. And you know what? They're going to find bunches and bunches of other people who are willing to be sheeple by way of illegal immigrants. But that's another story for another time. I think that even though the State of the Union was a positive exchange, they're playing a dangerous game with this DACA thing. I think that if my gut is right, they're doing it to expose the hypocrisy of the left. They're doing it to expose the level of hatred that the left has for the common man and woman, the common working man and working woman. You see, to the left, you are beneficial only if you are their serf, their slave. If you take something from the government, if you are beholden to it, then you are in their good graces, because they hold the levers of power, or the levers of power, if you will. And when they say jump, if you are beholden to them, then the only question that you can readily ask is how high? And that's how they love to have it. But the level of disconnectedness between elected officials and the general populace has, I think, has reached a zenith. I think we are at the peak of the disconnect, because when you tell somebody working for $12 an hour that getting a $1,000 cash bonus from the company they work for is crumbs, chicken feed, nothing at all, then that shows just how disconnected you are from the common man and woman for whom $1,000 is a lot of money. Look, the latest statistic, the latest study, the latest poll, whatever you want to call it, says that over 75% of American households don't have $1,000 cash for an emergency fund. And so you take that and you extrapolate the fact that many a company are giving $1,000 bonuses because of the tax cuts that were just signed into law. And then you have someone like Nancy, where am I and what's my name, Pelosi, telling people that that's just crumbs. You see that maybe not all, but a handful of people will go, why are we still voting for you? Why are we such ardent followers and supporters and voters of a system that couldn't even manage to give us crumbs? Because this is the irony of it. This is why I think they're shooting themselves in both feet and not realizing it. Now, if you call $1,000 bonus crumbs, yet in all your years in political office, being the majority leader, being the minority whip, being everything that you were as Nancy, what's my name, Pelosi, you couldn't manage to give even $1,000 in bonuses to the constituency that you represent. You couldn't manage to work the economy in such a way that would compel companies to step up and say, hey, we got a tax break. It's a good thing. We're not going to pocket the money. We're going to give it to our employees, because you know what? Our employees make our business work. And so if we can have a little extra, we'll give a little extra. The fact that you call it crumbs, yet you couldn't manage it in your tens of years in office is beyond ironic to me. Now, I know we started off talking politics again, but it's been a political week. I don't know if you saw the State of the Union, but I more than the speech itself, I think were the reactions of those sitting in attendance, of the representatives of the people, the servants of the people. And there were a few key moments where I don't know if it was discussed with the camera people beforehand or whether the people in the control room were told to do this, but let's call it that. The portrait that the entire scene painted, the optics of the situation, were beyond horrendous for the left. They were beyond horrendous for the Democrats. I think one of the key moments that they would rather everyone forget, yet I believe will be remembered, is when Donald Trump said that black unemployment was at an all-time historic low. And the Republicans clapped and cheered because, look, you can't not be joyful about the fact that more people are working. unless people are sitting there waiting for a handout. There's opportunity and there's jobs in the nation again. There's the sense of optimism from business that may be short-lived, I don't know, but it's here now. And there's folks hiring and there's folks expanding. And when you inform the nation, because the State of the Union is basically an informative sort of this is where we are as a nation to Congress. And now it's televised, so to the people of these United States as well. And when you tell the nation that black unemployment is at an all-time low, and the cameras pan over to the Congressional Black Caucus, and not one of them is clapping, and it just came out that one of them was playing Candy Crush during the State of the Union. Another was checking her Twitter. Another was checking Facebook. Because, see, this is what some of, I guess, the older ones in politics don't seem to understand. These are not the 80s anymore. These are not the 70s anymore. Everywhere you turn, there's a camera. Everything you do is captured in high definition 4K. And Candy Crush during the State of the Union, because hey, who cares? You're an elected official. You're making the coin already. It doesn't matter. You're in there for 4 years, and you can tell the stupid people that voted you in the first place whatever they want to hear, so they'll vote you in for another 4 years. But I think as far as optics, as far as the portrait it paints, that one moment really, really hit home. You're explaining to the nation that this is a net positive. Black unemployment, lowest in the history of the nation. Mexican or Latino unemployment, lowest in dozens of years. And you just sit there like the empty suit that you are, thinking about the lobster bisque that you'll be having for dinner when Donald Trump's done talking. And of course, you will have it on the taxpayer dime because, hey, they were dumb enough to vote you in the first place. Now, there was another moment, and it wasn't so much the reaction of the gallery this time, but it was the phrase itself that I believe was an absolute gut punch to the other side. And when I heard him say it, I said it right there. This is the most memorable line for the entire night. I don't care what else he says. This is going to be the most memorable line in the speech. In the State of the Union, this is going to be it. And what it was this. Americans are dreamers too. That hit, man. That connected. That landed. That was a three-point shot, nothing but net swoosh, right? And I guarantee you, most of the people that were watching, whether they were immigrants here legally, having gone through the birth pains and frustration of getting legalized, of dealing with bureaucracy and bureaucrats, of filling out paperwork, of writing out checks to the Treasury so that you can get your green card, you have no clue. If you haven't gone through the immigration process in this country, you have no clue how hellish a nightmare it is, even if you happen to be an American citizen or just trying to bring your wife. Never mind immigrating here just completely. I mean, I remember when we first got here in 1984, it took us a good 16 months to finish up all the paperwork and get everything legal and get the green cards and get social security numbers and everything else. We did it legally. Look, I understand that there's a risk involved in jumping a border and coming across the Rio Grande. But between the two, jumping the border is a lot easier than doing it legally and jumping through all the hoops and filling out all the paperwork and paying all the fees. And so I think most everyone that was watching it, even if they were an immigrant, look, that line spoke to me as an immigrant, as someone who came here as a child, who went through the rigmarole of getting legalized, who is now an American citizen. When he uttered that line, American or dreamers too, you could feel the gut punch, man. That hit home. And so, all in all, I'm trying to be as objective as possible. But even those that hate the man said that it was a strong speech. And I think as far as bullet points are concerned, it hit all the right notes. And again, my only concern is this offering to legalize 1.8 illegal immigrants. Because call them what you will, what they are is illegals. They're not even immigrants, they're illegals. You're in the nation illegally, therefore you're illegal. Let's not mince words. Do I hate these people? No, I've got nothing against them. Now, do I wish there was a way for them to get right with the law? Yes, but with a caveat. If they don't have a criminal record, if they've tried to, you know, live a normal, quiet life, an existence, you know, and you've been here 15, 20 years, all right, maybe find a way. But if you have any sort of criminal record, or if you got more face tattoos than the guy on Ripley's Believe It or Not, and you flash gang signs as a tick, out of habit, out of muscle memory, yeah, I have no problem with you being put on a bus and taken back to the nation of your origins. So that's that. Now, as I said, I was hoping, I really was, that this mysterious memo would be released tonight, because we would have had a lot of fun with it. Now, the reason I think it's such an explosive thing is the rabid ferocity that the left is trying to make it go away. They're fighting tooth and nail, man. They're almost nuts in trying to keep this thing from seeing the light of day. They're absolutely mental, especially Adam Schiff. If you don't know who this guy is and you want a good laugh, Google Adam Schiff insane talk. Or something along those lines. It'll make you giddy. And they don't want this thing to see the light of day. I get the distinct feeling that more than a few people are going to be headed for jail. And I think it's a good thing. Because if you don't rip off the mask to show the true ugliness of what DC has become, people will never understand why it's mandatory and necessary for the swamp to be drained, for the boil to be laced and all the pus to come running out. Because these are people that are entrenched, man. They don't want to go anywhere. They have their own little fiefdoms. And they're content in their fiefdoms. And the fact that, who was it, second in command of the FBI was just let go after the director of the FBI read the memo, does not bode well for a lot of career politicians and a lot of career bureaucrats. But we shall see. Apparently tomorrow is the day. Look, if something horrid happens between now and tomorrow, then I will get on board with the whole, what's it called, the black flag something, like a fake, it's not really a tragedy, it's a fake tragedy. If something takes away from the call to release the memo between now and tomorrow, then something is amiss in Denmark, kids. Because there are powerful forces within the government that do not want this memo released. So we shall see. I'm looking forward to reading it. I think next week is going to be an interesting show if they do release this memo, and it is what I'm thinking that it is. But yeah, look, I was talking about this with somebody just the other day. I understand the notion of corruption in banana republics. I understand the notion of corruption in countries like the one I come from. It's a given. But it's heartbreaking to see corruption in a nation such as this. Because those that came here from other lands really do think and still believe that it is different, or that it was different. That the rule of law is the rule of law, and that the law is equal for everyone. Well, we've come to realize that it really isn't. Because some people apparently are above the law, and it ought not to be this way. So what else has been going on in this world of ours? Well, apparently, of the world, have realized that going outside and hearing, you know, hearing a bird chirping or watching a squirrel climb a tree is more beneficial to one's mental state than being on Facebook. So users are spending 50 million fewer hours per day on Facebook. Now, the question is this. If they are spending 50 million fewer hours per day on Facebook, how many hours per day are people spending on Facebook? 50 million hours a day less. It's a good thing that people are starting to unplug, at least from Facebook, because it's just an utter waste of time. It's a time suck like you wouldn't believe. And I have people worried about me because I don't Facebook. There's a reason for it. Pointless, utterly useless. I think the last thing that I posted on Facebook was a picture of Melina, our daughter, because people were asking. And before that, a picture of Victoria when she was born, because people were asking. But people are starting to catch on. They're starting to realize that, hey, there's a world beyond my door. There are things to do and people to connect with. Not just Facebook friend and like, but actual shake hands and have a cup of coffee. Talk about the week. I don't know, discuss chess game theory. Something, anything. Other than sitting behind a screen or in front of a screen and wondering how many people are going to like your cat video. So yeah, that's the newest news on the Facebooks, and I think that it's good. It's good. The less time people spend on Facebook, the better their mental health. That is my supposition, and I'm sticking to it. Apparently, Google missed expectation in earnings. So look for, you know, a little bit of a roller coaster as far as the stock market's concerned. Again, I do believe it's overvalued, but I'm not giving money advice because in order to give money advice, you got to have money. And man, diapers are expensive. So it's neither here nor there. But I was just, you know, going through the news and seeing what was going on in preparation for the program, and I think those were the things that stood out the most. Again, I think the most impacting thing of all this week, when we look back on it in hindsight, I think it won't be so much the State of the Union speech, but this memo thing. Because I just saw a story scroll by. Look at this. This is how apoplectic these people are about this memo. Nancy Pelosi calls on Paul Ryan to remove Representative Nunes as House Intel Committee Chair for releasing the FISA memo. So in case you don't know who Representative Nunes is, his name is Devin Nunes. He's actually a Republican from California. And he is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And apparently this isn't sitting well with Nancy, what's my name, Pelosi. And so she called for the firing of this man. And look, how do I put this within the context where it's plainly understood? Imagine a defense attorney and a prosecuting attorney before a judge. And the prosecuting attorney says, I submit into evidence Exhibit A. And the defense stands up and says, I object, Your Honor. And the judge asks, why do you object? Are any of the claims in the evidence false? No, Your Honor, they're not false. See, no one is disputing the veracity of this thing. This is the one thing that everyone's glossing over. No one is saying that it's a lie. No one is saying that it's false. No one is saying that this memo is fallacious. And so the judge would ask, then why are you objecting to the evidence at hand? Because it makes us look bad, Your Honor, because it makes us look bad. That's not enough of a reason to withhold evidence from the American people. That's not enough of a reason to withhold this memo, eyes of the public, just because it makes Nancy and Schiff and all the other rats look bad. See, no one is saying it's false. No one is saying it's a lie. They just don't want it released because they know that what's in it, whatever it is, and I don't know, but I've got ideas. But whatever's in this thing is so detrimental to the Democratic Party that they're doing flips. And if they can't get Donald Trump to not release it, they want the heads of all those that made this memo see the light of day. And so House Minority Leader Nancy, my face is like this because I have 7 pounds of Botox injected in it, Pelosi, called on Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican Wisconsin, to remove Representative Devin Nunes, Republican California, as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee For Nunez's decision to release the memo detailing alleged misconduct by senior Justice Department and FBI officials. So, what it's alleging, now let's step back a bit and see why this is important. It's alleging misconduct by senior Justice Department and FBI officials. So not flunkies, not run-of-the-millers, senior Justice Department and FBI officials. Pelosi wrote in her letter to Speaker Ryan, "The decision of Chairman Nunez and House Republicans to release a bogus memo has taken the GOP's cover-up campaign to a new, completely unacceptable extreme." Weren't these the people rushing, yelling Russian collusion until it came out that it was actually Hillary Clinton's campaign that was colluding with the Russians? Look, and I have to circle back to this because it's all connected. You have to understand that the media, the mass media, the NBC, CBS's, ABC, CNN sort of folks, they have become the enemy of the people. They're not reporting news. They're regurgitating propaganda. And they're attempting to propagandize the people. And this is why I think a lot of reporters, a lot of Hollywood stars and starlets are literally losing their minds, because the general public, the people, are no longer swayed by their influence. They're no longer swayed by their arguments. And this is all these people had. Look, they gave up their dignity. They did unspeakable things for the sake of fame. Because in their minds, they thought they would be influence peddlers. They would mold the minds of the people and they would be lauded and lifted high above the crowds. And nobody cares what they have to say. And they can't have that. They gave up too much of their dignity and self-worth in order to achieve this fleeting fame that is now becoming meaningless because it's no longer a currency to them. See, most people really don't care what a B-list actor who pretends to be somebody else has to say about politics or politicians or the way the world is working. In the words of many an individual, just shut up and dance, stupid. Nobody's asking. Stop telling. I don't care what you think about geopolitical matters, because you pretend to be a doctor on television and you can memorize lines and repeat them. Sorry, not going to happen. So these people, the more that the public will disconnect, the more that the average individual will no longer be influenced by these people, the more they're going to lose their minds. Because this is all they had, and it's slipping away. Remember, it used to be that one of these stars did a PSA and got 100,000, you know, dull minds to go out and vote for Obama. Now, not so much anymore. Now people are taking a step back and going, all right, this is what you're saying, but this is what I'm seeing. See, you're saying that we're in worse shape than ever before. Everything's up in the air. We're all going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. And yet the economy seems to have stabilized, and we're having the lowest black unemployment in the history of the nation. People are generally a little more upbeat than they used to be a year ago. And the average citizen is taking all of this into account and tuning out their favorite TV or movie stars or starlets who insist on whatever they're insisting on. See, the general public has rejected Hollywood's version of utopia. Go with me here, because this is kind of profound. The average citizen has rejected Hollywood's version of utopia. Because Hollywood's version of utopia was what? Perversion, pederasty, godlessness, hedonism. And most people are like, no. You know, I like having a family, and I like having children, and I like working for my daily bread. And I like going to church, and I like praying to God, and I like reading His Word. I like these things. See, we were told what we were supposed to like and what we were supposed to hate, and we realized that, no, it's the complete opposite. And now these people don't know what to do with themselves. And so they're just going to be losing more and more of their minds, and it's going to be glorious to watch. Let's go back to Nancy's letter, because it's a beaut. It says, both the DOJ and the FBI opposed releasing the Nunes memo. And so she's contradicting herself here. If it's a bogus memo, as she claims in her first few words, then why would the DOJ and FBI oppose to releasing the memo? Huh? They could just come out with evidence that it's fallacy. Tis a lie, sir, tis a lie. But they can't, because it's not. So it's not a bogus memo. Incendiary truth. That's the difference. It is not a bogus memo. It is incendiary truth. And Nancy's letter continues and says, as the Department of Justice warned, the public release of the memo would be an unprecedented action and extraordinarily reckless. Why? Because we'd realize just how entrenched these people are and just how much they're manipulating us behind the scenes, how lawless elected officials have become. Is that it? Huh? Is that why it's extraordinarily reckless? The FBI also expressed that the agency has grave concerns about material omissions, a fact that fundamentally impact the memo's accuracy. The fact that these people are going nuts about it tells me that it's going to be good. It has now come to our attention that Congressman Nunes deliberately and materially altered the contents of the memo since it was voted on by the House Republicans. This action is not only dangerous, it is illegitimate and violates House rules. Now, it's come out that the alteration, as it were fixing a couple misspelled words and punctuation. So, yeah. Nancy's letter continues and says, Congressman Nunez's deliberately dishonest attempt and actions make him unfit to serve as chairman. and he must be removed immediately from this position, the House Minority Leader added. Oh, it's going to be an interesting weekend. If this thing gets released tomorrow, honestly, I'd wait until Monday. If I was going to be cruel about it, I would wait to release this thing on Monday so that it has an entire week in the news cycle. But I'll take tomorrow. Tomorrow's fine too. Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee voted to release the memo to the public on Monday. President Donald Trump has 5 days to object to the memo's release. I've got a sneaking feeling that he's not going to object to the memo's release. The memo allegedly describes how senior Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation officials used unverified Trump dossier to obtain a surveillance warrant on Trump campaign staffer Carter Page. The memo also supposedly details how those senior officials in the DOJ and the FBI misled the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, also known as FISA, on how Trump dossier was actually opposition research funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. This is why they don't want it out. Because they know how it'll look. It's going to be glorious. Look, Democratic Representative Swalwell, House GOP intel memo seeks to torch every floor of the FBI building. No, it seeks to expose the truth. See, if they had not gone the way of hubris a year and a half, 2 years ago, none of this would have happened. But in their hubris, they thought they couldn't lose. So, hey, we can do anything we want to do because who's going to question us once we win? This continues and it says, the memo also supposedly details how those senior officials in the DOJ and FBI misled the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Democrats and their allies have recently started attempting to discredit Representative Nunez ahead of the release of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act memo. MSNBC analyst John Heilman asks two Democratic lawmakers in two separate interviews whether Chairman Nunez was compromised by the Russians or a Russian agent. Really? I told you, the media is the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. They are propagandists. Now the narrative is that Nunez was compromised by the Russians or is a Russian agent. That's the new narrative, believe it or not. Heilman also asked Senator Chris Murphy, is it possible that the Republican chairman of the House Intel Committee has been compromised by the Russians? Is it possible that we actually have a Russian agent running the House Intel Committee on the Republican side? So anything that disparages Democrats, not falsely, but anything that truthfully puts Democrats in a bad light is now Russia, a Russian agent. They're calling Nunez a Russian agent for having the temerity to release a memo that exposes the snake pit for what it is. Murphy rebuked that question, suggesting that there was no information to suggest that it is the case. Heilman responded, Nunez is behaving like someone who's been compromised. And there are people in the intelligence community and others with great expertise in this area who look at him and say, that guy's been compromised. And again, this is another one of my pet peeves. This is another one of those things that sticks in my craw. Sources, unnamed sources, and as Mr. Heilman put it, people in the intelligence community. Those two things they get under my craw in such a way. Because anytime you hear unnamed sources, or anytime you hear a general and generalized people in the intelligence community, you know that individual is about to blow smoke. He is about to just outright lie and besmirch somebody's name without an ounce of evidence. Because, hey, you know, people in the intelligence community are saying, that guy's been compromised. Now, evidence is the sticky wicket. Because if you don't have evidence about something, like Nunez had in his memo, and unlike Mr. Heilman has regarding Nunez being a Russian agent, then what you are doing is making stuff up, outright lying about an individual. Now, Representative Pelosi added, it is long overdue that you, as Speaker, she's writing to Paul Ryan, put an end to this charade and hold Congressman Nunez and all congressional Republicans accountable to the oath they have taken to support and defend the Constitution and protect the American people. Oh, Nancy, Nancy, Nancy. See, this is where the Republicans need to understand something very basic. If your nemesis, if the individual that's been attempting to stab you repeatedly for as long as you've known missteps and somehow finds themselves under your boot, is no time for mercy. Sorry. No. This is if they don't release this memo, it will be the biggest blunder of this administration since the inauguration. Because some people are good-hearted by nature. And some of them may try to talk themselves and double-talk themselves into saying, well, you know, we don't need to bring this many people down. We don't need these many people to go. Yes, we do. Your advantage. Don't take the boot off your enemy's neck. Because the moment he catches his breath, he's going to be back to doing what he's always done, which is try to kill you. And for some reason, the Republicans have never understood this. They just love taking a beating. They don't defend themselves. And this is why the Democrats don't know what to do with this current administration, because they actually hit back. They defend their name, good or otherwise. They call out lies when other administrations just shut up and took it. Man, they said horrible things about George Bush, never defended himself. Romney, never defended himself. Herman Cain, never defended himself. And they tried the same playbook on a guy named Trump. And man, he came out swinging, and they don't know what to do because they're not used to it. They thought he'd lay down and die like the rest of them. And he bounced off the ropes and just gut-punched them over and over and over again. because that's what it was to the Democratic Party. That line, Americans are dreamers too. Gut punch. Direct hit. Straight into the plexus, man. They can't even catch their breath. And now if they release this thing tomorrow, oh, it's going to be sweet. It's going to be a beaut, as the Irish like to say. But Mike, why are you taking joy in other people's demise? Because these are the people that just voted to okay late-term abortion nationally. Is the party of death. It is a cult of death. And yes, I want to see them decimated. Yes, I want to see every dirty, nasty, ugly thing they've done be brought to the light. I want to see them shackled and in orange jumpsuits because they broke the law. And if I'd done it, or you'd done it, or any other average person had done it, we'd be playing a harmonica in a cell somewhere. So don't give me that you gotta show kindness and grace. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you gotta flip over the table and start whipping them. And it's long past due with people like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Schumer and all these rats. These absolute gutter rats who revel in the murder of the innocent. So yes, I will take joy in their misery. And I will be the first to applaud when they get marched in shackles. Again, if it would have been you or me, we'd be whistling Dixie by now. So let's you know, show grace where it's necessary. Show grace where it's deserved. Grace is not deserved. That's not what I'm talking about. And you know exactly that it's not what I'm talking about. But anyway, there's another one. Look at this. They're coming out of the woodwork. Man, it must be a bombshell. Democratic Senator Blumenthal, memo release. Reminiscent of the darkest days of the McCarthy era. This is beautiful. So it's an all-out assault to keep this thing from seeing the light of day. You know what? I don't know if I'm going to get any sleep tonight, and I didn't get any sleep last night either, but this time it's going to be out of excitement. Because hopefully they'll do the right thing and release the memo tomorrow. If they do that, then you're going to get a glimpse of just how much corruption is going on in the place that's supposed to be a monument to the will of the people. I'm anxious to see what's in this thing, but whatever it is, I know it's not good for the Democratic Party. We shall wait and see. And we will keep you updated. I think next week is going to be an interesting program because we're going to talk about it. If it gets released, we're going to talk about it. And I think that the way that it's being framed, even if you know what to expect, I think it's going to be a shock to the system of a lot of people. Let's put it that way. So yeah, these are your elected officials, the representatives of the people, the servants of the people, thinking themselves above the people that elected them into office, thinking themselves above the laws, and hopefully they'll come to understand that we have equal rights under the law. Hopefully. We shall see. Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being with us this fine evening. It's still very cold in Wisconsin. It got warm there for a few days. But yes, blistering cold again. Hopefully it'll warm up. But it is the way of things, winter in Wisconsin and whatnot. May God bless you. May God keep you. I guess I'm going to go take some NyQuil because I may be coming down with what my daughter has. And until next time, God bless. We'll see you next week, Lord willing. Gino, it's all yours.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, it's cold down in Tennessee. Ice rain tonight, and Florida was cold. But, you know, I think it's important. I'm so happy that there's actually a radio show out there where people do talk about the events of the day, and I can't wait to see this FISA memo. I can't wait to see the take on it, and I can't wait to hear the program next Thursday when Mike probably addresses it. But I think it's definitely important, as Mike said, to ferret out the untruths and the scandal that will definitely break out from this. And so when I get home Monday, I will put this radio show up on YouTube and last week's. But you can get them on Blog Talk under the archives, which I have noticed many people have been listening to the duplicated show or the next day show. So be mindful, they will be up on YouTube Monday. You can check out every prior show on Blog Talk Radio on archives. Just go to Google and text in Hand of Help or Light of Truth. Anything like that. Michael Boldea, Light of Truth, and you'll get the radio show. Please keep our ministry in prayer and Mike's family as well. And my wife and I, as we travel home Sunday, check out the handofhelp.com website. Very important that you check it out if you're looking for books or any material on our ministry and the messages God has given Mike and Dimitru. Also, I want you to know that you can ask a question that Mike will address on the radio show. Just send that in to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. I pray that you have a good night. God bless you. Until next week, have a blessed weekend as well.